I'm going to make a tape with reference to my recollections and the history that I know of the area of the Westlake Hills and the Westlake Highlands portion of Austin, west of Austin, that is known now as the Peninsula. This area will be roughly beginning on the east at the mouth of Bee Creek, about 300 yards north of the west side of the Tom Miller Dam, and following the creek westerly with its course through the Wild Basin area on up to the across Loop 360, and where it heads at just about where the San Stephen Road runs across the creek, just northeast of the Nike site, about 400 yards, I would say, north and east of the intersection of the San Stephen Road with the Bee Cave Road. I will begin at the east segment of this area, which would be the known as the Larson Ranch. It has been kind of partitioned now and divided up and sold, but that was encompassed the part of the Wilkerson Spark Survey and the David Thomas Survey that lie in this area, that is north of Bee Creek. Now, the Wilkerson Spark Survey does go quite a little bit further south and goes on down past Redbud Trail before it corners on its south line. And the David Thomas Survey goes on back across Bee Creek and about where Wildcat Holler and the trail of the Terry's Mountain Trail hit Westlake Drive. Now, it might be well to note here that until 1892 or 93, the Colorado River had no obstacles like a dam across them. And people from the west part of Austin or from Austin could come out and anywhere they could get down the bluffs on the east side of the Colorado River on what is now Lake Austin, they could go across the river, they could ford the river and come into the peninsula area in their vehicles, which of course in those days were nothing but wagons and maybe buggies or horseback. However, in 1892, there was a man named MacDonald who was mayor of the city of Austin, and he conceived the idea, probably about that time, of building a dam across the lake or across the river at the present location of the Tom Miller Dam. And this was done. And about 1893, the dam was completed, and it was built out of granite rocks and granite stones that were brought down from either Marble Falls or Llano. And one being there, and on the south side of the dam at this time, from the low water bridge, you can see a portion of this old dam that had washed away in the flood of 1900, the big old granite blocks that are still laying in the creek in the riverbed there. However, this fella MacDonald, who was mayor at that time, was responsible more or less for putting the dam in. And it was named MacDonald Dam, and the lake that it backed up was named MacDonald Lake. And then about 7 or 8 years later, when they had the hurricane of 1900 that wiped out the city of Galveston, the floods ensuing from that caused this dam to go out because the Colorado River had a tremendous flood on it at that time. And from that time on, from 1892 on, really, there was no way for the people in Austin to get over into the area known as the Peninsula. Now, before that time, the best way to get over there was to come down to what is now known as Taylor's Slough. You could get down off of the bluffs on the east side of the river, and you could ford the river at almost any place and get into the area known as the Peninsula. Now, the Wilkerson Spark Survey and the David Thomas Survey are encompassed in what was purchased by Mr. Fred Larson. He called himself Siegfried. He was a Swede, and his children still live there. And I asked his grandson not long ago, how did they ever get Fred out of S.W. Larson? And he said, well, S stood for Siegfried, and the nickname of the Swedes was Fred. It was called Siegfried. So Fred Larson, I will call him Fred because that's the only way I knew him. And I did know him personally and knew him at the time that he purchased this property in about 1932 or 1933, somewhere along in there. But back in the early days, and I'll get back to that later when I get to talking about the Brown Survey, the William Brown Survey, which lies just west of the David Thomas Survey. But back in the early days, when people, as I say, could ford the river and come on into the area that now known as the peninsula. And there's one very interesting tale that I should tell, because right after the Civil War, in the early 1870s, there was a man named Ben Thompson, who intermittently was run a gambling house in Austin, or he was city marshal. And he was one of the real famous gunmen of the early West and the Romantic West at the time of the cattle drives, and at one time run a saloon in either Dodge City or one of the trail towns in Kansas. But he was the equal of and the contemporary of the Earps and Doc Holliday and that bunch of gunmen that have made the West very romantic. Well, Ben Thompson lived in Austin, and as I understand from Major Buck Walton's story of him, biography of him, that he was a Welshman, and he'd emigrated over here with his brother from Wells and about the time of the Civil War, and he learned to use a gun fairly well, and he was one of the best gunmen in the West and one of the best shots in the West, and Texas particularly. But right after the Civil War, well, the carpetbaggers came in, and of course there was the Yankee soldiers came in and took over the ruling of the city of Austin. Well, that didn't set very well with Ben Thompson at the time, and he'd have an altercation once in a while with a Yankee soldier and shoot him, and that meant that he had to leave town for a little while until it cooled off, and maybe the soldier didn't die or got well. Those things did not last long. Animosities were very short-lived in those days. But anyway, Ben Thompson would do this. He would get on his horse when he'd have an altercation with a Yankee soldier, and he would ride out the area now that's probably known as Lake Austin Boulevard. Of course, it is in thick brush and woods, and there were no roads out there at all. But he would follow the trails, and he'd go across the river about where the Tommella Dam is now. And he would go into the mouth of Bee Creek, and ride up the mouth of Bee Creek in a westerly direction for 200 or 300 feet, and then the Little Bee Creek, the mouth of Little Bee Creek, came into that creek then from the south. And he would ride on up the Little Bee Creek for about 200 or 300 yards to what was called Bee Springs. It was an everlasting spring there, and it's on what the land now owned by the city of Austin and called the Nature Trail, and right opposite to where the Paul Wakefield home is. And that provided plenty of water, and so that's where the boys from Austin would make their camp while the Yankee soldiers were getting over their chagrin or getting over their wounds. And that's so from the biography of Mr. By Major Buck Walton. Now, when I was living on Terrace Mountain Drive in about 1962 or 3, my son Jeff Dochin was out helping me rake up some leaves and burning some brush there where we lived, and he ran across a quarter that was minted in 1865, and we still have it. And I would like to believe that perhaps while Ben Thompson and some of his cohorts were out hiding from the Yankee soldiers about 1870, that they would have had that coin in their pockets, and perhaps while they were hunting deer with their pistols in that area, which was only about a quarter to half a mile from where they camped, that perhaps in pulling the pistol out of their pistol, wherever they kept it, because in those days they didn't have too many scabbards, they just used them, put them in their waistbands or something like that, that maybe Ben Thompson may have lost his 1855 quarter. And until a better story comes along, or a better excuse for that quarter being there, that's what I'm going to tell. Now, I might say this, that in 1928, when I bought my first land, which is located up where the County Line restaurant is now, I bought 139 acres in there. At that time, there were no roads of any kind that run north off of the BK Road into not only the peninsula area, but the area that lie a mile north of the BK Road to the Bee Creek. It was completely isolated. Now, there was a road that they call the Rocky River Road that came off the BK Road and run northerly about where the Ryland Story is now, and run off down across the Balcones Fault area, which is just a terrible rocky thing, to the bottom of where the river Bree, where the Tom Miller dam is, and people would go down there, down this rocky road, and fish. That was it wasn't a road. And then the only other way to get back into that area, the Peninsula area, off the BK Road, was up where the Roy Ranch House is now, and you'd go through their stock pen there by the old house and work around behind on the north side of the present Nike site, and then go down in the area where the St. Stephen School Road is located. There were some people that, I'll get to that in a little while, that had bought land down in there about 1914 and 15 along in there. But there were no roads in 1928 and 29. When I first started there, no roads leading from the BK Road back into the Peninsula area at all. And these short boys knew about that, and they thought that land all belonged to the state. And they told me that. And being a lawyer, I knew that all the land in Texas had been granted, in this area of Texas at least, had been granted to somebody, and the state didn't own it. So I set about finding out who did own it, since nobody was using it and taking care of it, and nobody seems to care about it. And so, in abstracting all of this land, I found out what I've just told you about the upper half of the Chambers of the Brown survey being cut into 10-acre blocks and owned by the Chambers family, and being sold to people that they sold land to in town, or just sell it to them for some town people for their wood. And it so happened that one of these tracts of land that they sold over there that I got title to by limitations, I'll tell you about it later, belonged to our governor of Texas, Mr. A.J. Hamilton, who was governor of Texas about 10 years after the Civil War. And then another one was Mr. Zippelman family. They bought land over there on these 10-acre blocks. He had been mayor of Austin and sheriff of Travis County. And I went to school with his grandson, one of the Zippelman boys. And old man Jake Zippelman was one of our pet jurors. And the first 2 or 3 years I started practicing law in the early 30s. But anyway, the Zippelman family owned it. Then the Cedars family owned 10 or 20 acres over there in the Brown survey, and the Cedars family are the ones that now own the cash carry stores in Austin. Then there was a 20-acre block that belonged to the Griffin family. I believe it was Edmund Griffin. He came over from Scotland or Ireland in the 1870s as a rock mason. And he came over to help this company that had made a deal with the state of Texas then to build their new capital for $5 million worth of land up in the Panhandle. The XIT Ranch went to the Scottish company, and they brought their own rock masons over from the old country. And the Griffin family was a part of these people. And they bought some land in the 1870s over there, 20 acres of it in the upper half of the Brown Survey, for wood purposes. And they stayed in the family until last year when the heirs of Edmund Griffin sold it. And it's right next to some land that I now own, Joyce and I own. But then there were different transfers of land along in there, and I have a list of all those without going into detail on them. But most of them, most of this part of the Brown Survey lies west of what's now Toro Canyon Road. And the Bull land and the Smith land and the Mitchell land lay on what is now east of the Toro Canyon Road. And the only reason that is that I got title to this upper half of the Brown Survey, approximately 200 acres of it. I got title to that in a lawsuit in 1850-51, and I got it by limitations. I took charge of it and kept it for 10 years and used it for what it was supposed to be used for. And then I sued all the unknown heirs and legal representatives of the record title holders, and I got a judgment on it. Now, it so happened that when I started studying about this upper half and this 200 acres that I later got title to by limitations, I found out that by the tax rolls and by the assessment rolls, that no one had assessed taxes on just on this 200 acres from about 1890 on. And that's when I discovered that probably the reason for it was that they'd built the dam and these people did not have access to the land. And they'd probably already cut all the wood off of it anyhow. And so in the course of 10 or 20 years, the use of the land had dissipated and they just forgot about it. And the people that owned it over there, I'm sure they died before 1920, and their heirs didn't know anything about it. And I didn't know any of these people. And so then there was no way to get to it, and why would have been in Africa, so they didn't pay taxes on it. And I discovered that, and from 1890 until 1930, when I started working on this thing, there had been no taxes paid on the 200 acres that I got limitation title on. The people who had been paying taxes, like the Griffins and the Cedars And some of the other the Isaacs people paid tax on it, and they didn't know where it was, had no idea. I contacted them, and they didn't know why they was paying taxes on it, but they sent them the tax notices, and so they would pay taxes. So I did not claim limitations against those people. I only claimed limitations against those who did not show enough interest in the land to pay taxes on it for 25, 30 years. Now, going westerly from the William Brown survey, the beginning at the river, the first survey that lies west of the William Brown is the Thomas Gray survey. And the Thomas Gray survey was conceived more or less the same way that the William Brown was. I'm sure that whoever got the title of the land, they sold it to Mary Jane Smith in the 1870s. And Mary Jane Smith, she opened up a subdivision of 10-acre blocks in the I believe this was probably 320 acres, a tract. But that, after the Mrs. Smith got a hold of it, and she sold several tracts off. One was to Mr. J.P. Snyder, who, back in the early days, run a saloon down on what Lavaca Street, I believe it is. He's on Guadalupe Street and 2nd Street. West 2nd, right across from where the city hall complex is now. I knew Mr. Snyder before he died, and I'd been in his saloon because he was a collector of airheads when I was a little boy, and he had them stuck on the mirror at the back bar of his saloon. And Papa took me down to show me Mr. Snyder's collection. Mr. Snyder was a Catholic, a very devout Catholic, and one of his daughters was a nun. And one of these 10-acre blocks in the Gray Survey finally wound up in Sister Snyder's title, and I think she